You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in those Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and if you're brave enough, flip over as well and put a little thumb or a placeholder in Isaiah chapter 6. Genesis 1, Isaiah chapter 6. Happy homecoming weekend again, everyone. Come on, we're in a series called Homecoming. We're talking about what it takes to make a home good, who's in a good home, what happens there, what are the benefits and the privileges of being a part of a good home. And I shared last week several times that today we're going to talk about our true purpose in life. How you can know, how you can discover and actually live out your true purpose in life. Let me just start right here. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know your why in life? Do you know the big why that God has for you, for why you exist, for why he puts you on this planet? Okay, listen to me. If you don't know right now, that's okay. That's okay. And listen to me. The vast majority of people that exist today have no idea why they exist. The vast majority of people that are living today have no idea why they are on this earth. Come on, that's like a big question that people always ask, isn't it? That's been asked throughout the ages. People, it's like this big philosophical question that people have struggled to answer. They want to know, what's the meaning of life? How many of you would like to know what the meaning of your life is? I'm just guessing you're not wanting to raise your hand right now, but come on. We want to know the meaning of our life, right? We want to know what that is. So I've got good news for you this morning. The church has the answer. The church has the answer. Listen, if you don't know why you exist yet or the purpose that God created you for, that's okay. But just because you don't know doesn't mean that you can't discover the answer and begin to live it out, okay? As I just said, you're in the right place to begin discovering it. If our true purpose comes from God, then how many know getting yourself in the presence of God is a good way to begin to discover why God has put you on this earth? Amen? So listen, here's the title of today's message, God's Home Has Purpose. God's home has purpose. God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for you. He created you for a reason. God is not disorganized. He did not get all just willy-nilly when he created you and created me or anything else, right? He's smart. His brain is firing on all cylinders, right? Come on, he has a plan. He has the ultimate plan. How many of you have ever not had a plan? How many of you have ever, just to be honest, done some dumb things in life? Like you did things before you actually thought. I got way too many of those to count, right? God's never done that. Everything that God has ever done has been well thought out, including you. He has a reason and a purpose for why you are alive, okay? God has a purpose for you. Now, real quick, how many of you guys have heard that before? Come on, how many of you have heard that God has a purpose for your life before? And I just said that the church has the answer. Let me ask this. How many of you guys have ever heard the church say that before? You've heard the church say God has a purpose for your life, okay? How many of you that have heard that before from the church, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have yet to actually discover what it is? You've yet to actually discover what your purpose is, or maybe the church then never told you how you could actually discover your purpose, okay? Here's the bummer. A lot of people have been told by the church that God has a purpose for them, but they've never had anyone tell them how they can actually begin to live it out, how they can discover it. By and large, the church doesn't teach that. We talk about this a lot around here. I mean, this is what the church has done for a long time. We tell people they have a purpose. We get them saved, but then it doesn't go any further than that. So listen to me. If all you do is get people saved and you don't take it any further than that, if you never get them changed and on mission as well, then you might as well forget about helping them try to figure out what their real purpose is in life. It's like we just leave people in this perpetual treasure hunt out there to try to figure out why they exist. It doesn't have to be that hard. It isn't. God is so good to us that he has shown us all throughout his word why you and I exist. He has shown us our purpose, okay? So here's what we're going to do, church, okay? Let me explain how this is going to work this morning. First off, I am going to show you the big, enormous, the big picture reason that you exist. I'm going to tell you what your purpose is. Somebody praise Jesus. Amen? Okay, God's desire is that everything you are and everything that you do in life would fall under this big category, would fall under this big umbrella category, okay? Then we're going to get even more specific. Within that big picture, God has an even more specific purpose for your life. Let me say it this way. It's a very fulfilling responsibility that he wants to entrust to your care. I'm going to tell you what that fulfilling responsibility is. And then finally, we're going to get even more specific, okay? Under the big picture, and within that fulfilling responsibility, God has a very unique way for you to express or carry out that fulfilling responsibility. It is specific to the way he designed and wired you. All right? Does this sound like fun? You guys ready for this? You guys ready for the big picture, the reason you exist? I'm going to tell you, this. Here it is. This is the reason you exist right here. Here's your big picture. This is your ultimate purpose in life. Number one, to know God and enjoy him forever. To know God and enjoy him forever. To be his kid, to be his son or daughter that he loves so much. To love him back, to be in deep committed relationship and know the God of the universe. And not just know him, but enjoy him forever. To do life with, to enjoy life with the most wonderful, most miraculous, most powerful, most supernatural, most beautiful, most kind, most loving, big, adventurous, wondrous person that has ever existed. You were created to be God's kid, to know him and enjoy him forever. Amen. Now look, before we go any further, okay, some of you guys are getting pumped up, but I'm going to guess right now, I'm going to guess that though you would never, ever admit this right here, some of you, when you just heard what your purpose in life is, to be God's kid, to know him and enjoy him forever, some of you, you would never want to say this, but you were just a little bit underwhelmed. If you're totally honest with yourself, right now, grace on this, but if you're totally honest with yourself, you were hoping there was something more. You were hoping there would be something more. Again, grace if you felt that way. Okay, listen to me. If you felt even the tiniest bit underwhelmed when I just said that, here's why I think you were underwhelmed. I got a couple reasons. Here's the first one. Again, we would never want to admit this, but here's the reason. Because many of us actually believe that God is boring. Because many of us actually believe that God is boring. Let's start right here. Most of us at some point in our lives have had some boring church experiences. Amen? Okay, real quick, here's what you do. You keep hanging out with the gathering family because we're living an adventure following Jesus. We're having fun around here, right? But many of us have had boring church experiences before, maybe even for long periods of our lives, and that boring church experience has led you to believe that God is at least somewhat boring, that he must be at least somewhat boring. And if God is boring, then that means my purpose in life, if my purpose in life is to be his kid, to know him and enjoy him forever, then that really doesn't sound that great. How can something that's constantly boring actually then be fulfilling? You don't have to raise your hands, but come on, is this resonating with anyone? Okay, listen to me. I am sorry you've had a boring church experience. I had one too. Jesus is bummed out by your boring church experience. What a disservice that has done. But that doesn't mean, okay, that does not mean that God is actually boring. Here's what that means. This is going to be strong. We hung out with some boring people. Some of us have hung out with some boring people. It doesn't mean God is boring, and it doesn't change the fact that your purpose in life is to know God and enjoy him forever. It doesn't change the fact that that is the most fulfilling thing. It's truly the only fulfilling thing you will ever know in life. So if you were just underwhelmed even just a little bit, here's what you have to do. It's simple. Get to know God for who he really is and start enjoying him for who he really is. Some of you have been doing that. Some of you have discovered for the first time, like, man, God's actually exciting and it's changing your life. It's beautiful. We've been looking at the creation story in Genesis here in our series. Listen to me. God is not boring, okay? If you go back and read the creation story, boring people don't create planets. Boring people don't create oceans and mountains and volcanoes and stars and so many stars that you can't even count them. Think about this. A boring person could never think up a monkey. People who know how to party think up monkeys, right? Boring people don't pick up handfuls of dirt and go, and create human beings. Boring people don't continue to love people that they make even when they sin and mess up their creation. Boring people don't go on daring rescue missions that will cost them everything to get those sinful human beings back. Well, Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Jesus essentially said, I and the Father are one. Jesus is not boring. Boring men don't walk on water. Boring men don't turn water into wine. That's way too controversial. We know that. Boring men don't speak the truth in love, even when it might get them killed. Boring men don't go take a tremendous beating for people. They don't get hung on a cross for people. They don't die and go into a grave for people. They don't come back to life for people. Jesus is the manliest, most unboring person to ever walk this earth. Amen. And he is God. And we get to know God and enjoy him forever through Jesus. If you're underwhelmed, here's my encouragement. Start getting to know God for who he really is and get your mind blown by what he's really like. Come on, that's God's purpose for you. In fact, it all began that way in the garden. He created mankind to be his sons and daughters, to know him, to enjoy his love forever. We messed it up, but the purpose has not changed. God has been on a rescue mission to get his kids back to their true purpose ever since. Watch this. This is John 10:10. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. Well, guess what? The only way you can get a full life is to have the life of Jesus inside of you, which is fulfilling. The only way to live a fulfilling life is to have the life of Jesus inside of you, which will allow you to be a son or a daughter of God. And check this out. John 14:6, Jesus told him, okay, this is Jesus again. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And watch this. No one can come to the Father except through me. Think about that for a second. According to what Jesus said right here, he's rightfully implying that people must want to somehow get back to the Father. That people want to get back to the Father. Listen to me, whether you realize it or not, the longing, the aching you have in your life, the purpose that you so deeply desire is only fulfilled when you are with the Father. And you can only be with the Father through Jesus. By trusting in, committing to, and relying upon him. But again, if you were just underwhelmed even just a little bit, here's the second reason that might have happened, okay? Grace this morning, but you might have been underwhelmed because you really don't want to find your purpose in God. You don't want to find your purpose in God. It goes back to the boring thing a little bit. You'd rather find your fulfillment in things that right now you believe are way more exciting. You'd rather find your fulfillment somewhere else. Besides, the world's doing its best to tell us that God is boring. Amen? Come on, look, I don't know what you're currently trying to find your fulfillment in. I don't know what you're currently doing to try to get your purpose. Here's what most people in America do. They look for it in money. They look for it in more stuff, bigger houses, bigger toys. They look for it in sex. They look for it in relationship. Some people are trying so hard to desperately eliminate every ounce of responsibility from their lives because they think that will make them happy. Your purpose can't be found in those things. And come on, notice what Jesus doesn't say. Come on, he doesn't say, only the big check, you got to come to me, the big paychecks come through me. You want the mansion? The mansion comes through me. You want the easy, zero responsibility life? No one can get that except through me, okay? Jesus is our provider. He's the one who gives us the ability to receive, but he doesn't bring those kinds of things up right here because he knows those aren't the things that are going to fulfill you. Being with the Father is what will fulfill you. But let's be honest, that's hard for us to hear. Because first off, we are sinful and rebellious. We would rather turn from God than try to go to him to find our purpose. And second, that's hard for us to hear because we have been programmed to believe that our purpose in life is to get, take, accumulate, get as much as we can, try and somehow be the most popular, and we think that's going to bring fulfillment. But I'm telling you, it's the Father. So then follow me here. When I tell you that your purpose is found in God, it's completely countercultural for you to actually believe that. It's completely unrebellious for you to believe that. But I'm telling you, and the one who created you and loves you is telling you, you will only find your fulfillment in your true purpose as a child of God. Again, here's the big picture. This is where it all falls under. You exist to know God and enjoy Him forever. Here's the second one. Okay, let's keep going deeper. Under the big umbrella, here's the fulfilling responsibility that God wants to entrust to you as one of His kids to help others know God and enjoy Him forever. To help others know God and enjoy Him forever. Life with God is so unboring, He actually invites you on the risky, daring, adventurous rescue mission He's on to bring other people back to Him. And come on, we know this around here at the Gathering. We are to be disciples who make disciples. Come on, we're to help other people get saved, changed, and on mission. Whether you realize it or not, God has an incredible responsibility that He wants to entrust to your care, and it will bring satisfaction like nothing else. Again, here it is, to help other people know God and enjoy Him forever. If you've ever helped anyone know God and enjoy Him forever, if you've ever helped anybody get saved or take discipleship steps, then you know how much fun that is. You know what a rush that is. I can't tell you how, you don't even know how much I've partied when some of you guys have gotten saved. You don't even know how much I partied when I've watched you guys take discipleship steps. I was thinking about this past week. I've got a bunch of cousins that go to the Gathering. It's beautiful, but I got two cousins in particular, David Nottingham and Aaron Pryor, their brother and sister. When we launched the church, they were showing up, and then we began to hang out. Like every week, I'd go to their office and we'd talk about God. And they were beginning to realize, like my story, that they had attended church their whole life, but they'd never actually given their lives to Jesus. And so one day we were hanging out, and they were like, "Will you pray? Let's pray together so that we can give our lives to Jesus." It was obvious that they'd already made the decision in their heart. It was so obvious that they'd already, we're going all in with Jesus. But they're like, "Would you pray? Let's pray together." And then my cousin Erin, if you get to know her, she's the best. She's like, no, we can't pray right now. I'll cry too much. I will cry too much. Let's not do this. And so I was like, okay, here's what you do. You just get along with Jesus. I'm going to leave, get along with Jesus. Just pray and tell Him, "Jesus, I want you to have my life." Okay? Next week I come back and I ask, "Hey, did you guys pray? Did you get along with Jesus?" And I'll never forget what David said. He looked at me and goes, "Oh, yeah. We're all in with Jesus." I don't know if he knows this or if she knows this. I got in my car to go home that day, and I partied. I'm not kidding. I shouted my head off in praise to God. I was yelling in tongues. I was dancing. I was driving and dancing. Hard, too. You don't even want to know what it looked like. It was nasty. I was shouting and dancing. I do this all the time when I hear about people taking discipleship steps around here. I'm like, you mean to tell me that so-and-so prayed out loud at their neighborhood gathering? Nasty dance. I probably shouldn't call it the nasty dance, should I? Dance party. You mean to tell me so-and-so signed up to, they're going to serve with Team Reborn? Dance party. You mean to tell me that so-and-so, they gave for the first time? Dance party. They're reading their Bible for the first time? Dance party. You mean so-and-so led somebody else to get saved? Dance party. I get pumped up. I chase that feeling. It's the best. It's one of the most fulfilling things to get to be a part of other people getting close to Jesus. Come on. And look, it's no mystery that this is what God wants for us. Okay, this doesn't need to be a treasure hunt to discover that it's His will. Jesus tells us it's what He wants for us. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you guys know this. This is the Great Commission. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because you are my disciples," He's saying, "go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is the fulfilling responsibility. "Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus has the most fulfilling responsibility that he wants to entrust to your care. He wants you to be a disciple who makes disciples. He wants you to help others get saved, changed, and on mission. And again, okay, remember this responsibility fits in, it fits under the greater picture, right? The big picture. So I want you to think about this. Listen, this has been your true purpose since God made mankind back in the garden. This has actually been your true purpose since way back when, okay? This is crazy, but watch this. Genesis 1, if you have your Bibles there, we're going to read verses 27 through 28. Do not miss this. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, everybody. Multiply, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue it. Rule over it. Some translations actually say govern it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over everything, every living creature that moves on the ground. Church, do you realize that when we participate in the Great Commission, we're taking part in one of the very things that God created us to do in the first place? We're actually helping to subdue the earth. God wanted Adam and Eve to multiply, to bring the whole earth under their love, their care, and their attention. God wanted not just the garden to be their home. He wanted the whole earth to be their home. Ultimately, he wanted them to subdue the whole earth, or again, some translations say govern the whole earth for the glory of God and for the good of all he created. When you help make disciples, you are multiplying God's people. You're multiplying God's family, and now not only are you subduing the earth, you're also beating back the gates of hell and death itself. You're bringing the earth under proper stewardship again. God's creation, you're expanding God's home. You're actually participating with Jesus in subduing or even governing the earth for God's glory and the good of all his creation. This was a big part of our purpose when God created mankind. It's our purpose now, and it will be our purpose when God makes everything brand new. Do you realize that the book of Revelation says that we will rule and reign with Jesus? That's unbelievable. But friends, it's no secret that many Christians today are living unfulfilled lives. And it's no surprise. Here's the truth. As it stands right now, most people today who say they love Jesus will never lead a single person to know Jesus. Very few people who say they are Christians today actually help another person take discipleship steps. That's not God's plan for your life. And big time grace this morning, if you're in that category, again, you're in the majority. But God doesn't want you to stay there, and that is not how we roll around here. Together, we are becoming disciples who are equipped to actually steward well this fulfilling responsibility that God has given us so that we all can make disciples. And I'm telling you, once you start, you won't want to stop. Here's number three, all right? Here's the third one. Let's get even more specific with God's purpose for your life. You were created to uniquely, don't miss that, to uniquely help other people know God and enjoy him forever. Is this helping people out today? Come on, to uniquely help other people know God and enjoy him forever. Listen, God loves you. He made you to be you. No one else is you. No one else is exactly like you. You come with your own set of looks, likes, dislikes, abilities, even inabilities, whether you know it or not. God has placed gifts inside of you, and or he wants to place more gifts inside of you. God made you to be you. He did not make anyone else to be you. In fact, nobody else can be you better than you. And that's liberating when you begin to realize that. So follow me. Listen, God's purpose for your life is for you to know him and enjoy him forever. He has a very fulfilling responsibility he wants to entrust you with, which is to help other people know him and enjoy him forever. But now get this. He has a very unique way for you to express or carry out that responsibility. In fact, because you are you and no one else is you, no one else can express or carry out this responsibility exactly like you can. Listen to me, God has a call on your life, and that call is the unique way he wants you to carry out the responsibility of making more disciples as a kid who gets to know his dad more and more all the time and gets to enjoy him forever. Now here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. I've told you the first two. I've told you what your big purpose is. I've told you what the fulfilling responsibility is. I can't tell you what your unique way for carrying that out is. I can't tell you what your unique way is for carrying that out. Before you get bummed out, don't worry. You can discover what it is. You can discover how to do it. I've got more good news this morning. You can know and live out your unique calling. And I don't care how young or old you are. I don't care what you've been doing, what you haven't been doing, where you've been. If you're breathing right now, that means God wants you alive for a purpose, his unique calling on your life. So here's how you can discover your unique calling. It is so simple. You come home to God. God's home has purpose. Listen to me. Here's what you do. You go back to number one. Back to number one. The reason you exist, and you steward number one well. You go back to your relationship with God and you get all in with that thing. Listen to me. You exist to know God and enjoy him forever. So here's what you do. You begin to exist to know God and enjoy him forever. If you begin to do that, I'm telling you, if you want to know what your unique calling is from God, start getting to know him more, steward your relationship with him well. In the process, you will get to know his heart. You'll get to know what he's really like, just how loving, how gracious, how compassionate, kind, and adventurous he really is. Get this, he'll show you what he really enjoys. And you'll begin to like the things that he really enjoys. His heart will begin to overtake your heart as the wounds and the hurts and the sins get washed away. He will give you a whole new set of incredible desires, desires that line up with his heart and desires that line up with the way he made you and wired you. You'll begin to crave the things of God. You will begin to see things differently. You'll get passionate about certain things. This will happen here as well. You'll begin to see things that will drive you nuts. You'll begin to see things, there will be certain things that you'll notice that don't fall under God's rule, that don't line up with his heart. And since you're falling more and more in love with God's heart, you're going to look at these things and you're not going to be able to take it. It's going to drive you nuts. They're things that need to be subdued for Jesus. And you'll start telling God about it. You'll start praying to God. God, something's got to be done about this. We got to take care of this right here. I can't take this anymore. God, I can't take that. My friends don't know you. I want them to know you. They got to know you. God, I can't stand that those people are hurting the way that they're hurting. They've got to know your love. God, I can't stand that this injustice is happening over here. People need to know how good you are. God, I can't stand that there's kids on this block that's been neglected that aren't going to have Christmas. We got to do something about it. They need to know your generosity. God, I can't stand that there's thousands upon thousands of people in my hometown that don't know how much you love them. I got to see Newton reborn. And then here's what happens. Here's what happens. One day, you'll be hanging out with God because that's what you do now, and you do it a lot because you steward number one well. You hang out with him a lot. And these desires are just bursting in your heart. Man, they're boiling over. You just can't contain them. You've been praying and telling God all about these things, how something needs to change, how you want to do something about it so bad. And get this, while you've been hanging out with God, God has been uniquely qualifying you more than any other person to actually do something about it. Until one day, out of nowhere, if you've got your Bibles in Isaiah 6, we're going to read verse 8. One day out of nowhere, you hear God say something like what we see him say in Isaiah 6. Isaiah hears God speak. It's going to be up on the screen. And here's what he says. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" God's saying, he's all nonchalant. Who's going to go take care of this problem over here? Who should I go send to deal with this problem over here? Who's going to go take care of this for us? And guess what? It's the exact problem that you've been talking to God about, you've been telling him about, you've been praying about. It's the very desire that you have in your heart that you just can't contain. And now he's going to send somebody? He needs to ask to send somebody? Doesn't he know it's me? Doesn't he know I'm the one? And then you do what Isaiah does right here. He shouts to God at the top of his lungs, "Here am I, send me. Send me. I want to take care of the problem. I want to do something about it. God, I want the responsibility so bad. I want to take that thing on." And friends, you will find yourself living out a very unique calling that God has placed on your life, and there is nothing like it in life. There's nothing more fulfilling than getting to know him and enjoy him and tend to the responsibility he's given you to help others know him in the way that only you can. And I'm telling you, it can happen for you. It can happen. Here's how. Here's how, family. Come on, go back to number one. Go back to number one. Stick with number one. Steward your relationship with God well. And now don't miss this. Don't miss this. Even if God didn't have a unique call on your life, number one would still be enough. But he's so good, he does have a unique call on your life. Sadly, though, most people don't ever give number one the attention it actually deserves so that they can actually find out what their true calling is. They don't spend the time. They don't spend the resources. They don't invest in their relationship with God, and they never live truly fulfilled. People don't practice spiritual disciplines anymore. They don't do the things that God's people have done throughout the ages that help them grow in their relationship with God. Man, people don't pray. People don't pray. People don't read their Bibles and talk to God while they read their Bibles. They don't show up in church consistently. We're going to talk about that one in a moment. They don't show up consistently. And when they do show up, they show up late. And they skip out on worship because they kind of think it's like this thing that can just be missed. They don't invest in Jesus-centered relationships. They don't get friends and family around them that can encourage them and help them love Jesus more. They're not consistent in a small group, or they don't want to show up at a neighborhood gathering. They don't serve along with the family. They don't experience what God's heart is really like through generosity. Church family, again, everything I'm describing right here, these are all spiritual disciplines that God's people have done throughout the ages to help them know God and enjoy him more. These are Acts 2 things right here. This is church stuff right here. Those are the kinds of investments that people make so that they can grow. And as they grow closer to God's heart, they get more and more changed. And as they get changed, they get more and more on mission. And people that really take these things to heart end up living lives of impact and significance as they uniquely carry out the life-giving, fulfilling responsibility that God has entrusted to them to help other people know their purpose. And their purpose is to know him as well. Here's my question. Here's my question. How are you stewarding your purpose? How are you stewarding your purpose? How are you stewarding your relationship with God? Grace, this morning, how's it going with spiritual disciplines? How's it going? Are you getting to know him more and more all the time? Or come on, it's homecoming. Do you need to come home? Do you need to come home? Do you need to grow in your relationship with God? I'm telling you, we are better together. And God doesn't expect you to try to figure it out all by yourself. Listen to me. All those spiritual disciplines that we just talked about, we keep getting better and better at them together as we show up together. Every Sunday, we keep getting better and better at these things. You show up in your neighborhood gathering, you keep getting better and better at these things. God's home, being with his people, is where we find the encouragement that we all need to keep growing, keep taking steps, get equipped to make disciples, and actually carry out that responsibility. And here's the other thing that's so cool. Listen, I said earlier, I can't tell you what your unique calling is. I said earlier, I can't tell you the unique way that you'll express or carry out that responsibility. That's usually true initially. Typically, at first, I won't be able to tell you what your unique calling is. But here's what happens all the time. As you go all in with number one, the more you keep showing up with God's family, here's what happens. You got a family of people around you that can see what God is doing in your life. They may not be able to see it at first, but there will come a day and you'll have people around you as you're growing, as those desires are boiling over in your heart, and people are going to walk up to you and say, you know, I can see you doing this. You know, I was praying about you and God showed me that you're going to do this one day. I can confirm right now the calling of God on your life. You'll begin to experience that more and more. I can't tell you the number of times I've had people throughout my journey come and confirm the calling that God has on my life. Many times, way before I had any business even thinking about doing anything for God. But I really wanted to know Him. I wanted to know Him. I'm still a mess. I was a mess. But I really wanted to know Him. And the more I got to know Him, God continued to confirm a call on my life. And other people would confirm it as well. He has a call on your life too, and you can know it. You can live in it. And it all happens through relationship with Him. Amen? I want to talk to you about one more thing real quick that's related to all this, okay? So church family, I'm telling you, God's home has everything you need. God's home has everything you're looking for. But here's where we're at. We are living in a time right now where the average American, if they say they're a Christian or if they say they go to church, they show up 2 times a month. That's the national average for attendance right now. But I'm going to be honest, that everybody says it's rapidly declining. It's turning into 1 time a month really quick. People that say they love Jesus showing up in church 1 time a month. So it's no wonder that the church is where it's at. It's no wonder that the church is where it is today. And it's no wonder that so many Christians are living unfulfilled lives. We're not giving relationship with God and our connection to God's people the weight it really deserves in our lives. And here's the truth. Let's just focus right here. Here's the truth. We're not immune to that here at the gathering. So we have about 400 people that are actually connected to this church. That's incredible, right? We got over 200 people in neighborhood gathering right now. But there are 400 people connected to this church, but we average a little over 200, usually anywhere from 200 to 250 each Sunday. That means we are right in line with that national average. We are right in line with that national average. Church family, that's church normal today. But how many of you know, if we really want things to change, if we really want to live saved, change, and on mission, if you're really going to live out this purpose and live a life of significance and impact, if we're going to see our city reborn, then we can't do church normal and expect anything to change. And I would be foolish as pastor if I just ignored this. You know I love you way too much to sit back. Come on, so here's what we're doing. I'm pumped up about this, all right? Here's what we're doing. Starting in January, November, December, and January, we're going to do this thing that we're calling the Every Sunday Challenge. The Every Sunday Challenge. I'm pumped about this, all right? Altogether, there are 12 Sundays between January, February, and March. 12 Sundays. Then April 1st, the first Sunday in April, is Easter Sunday. Come on. In the coming weeks, we're going to pass out cards, and we're asking everyone, will you commit to showing up each Sunday for 12 weeks? And then at the end of it, let's celebrate Easter like nobody's business. I know some of you, I know you're hearing this for the very first time today. Listen, this came up out of prayer. I was in prayer one morning right here. And I felt like God just gave this vision for this thing to happen, okay? Here's my question. I know you're just hearing about it. Will you take the challenge and make celebration service a priority? January, February, and March. Will you make it a priority? For 12 weeks, make celebration service a priority over sleeping in, over out-of-town trips, over binging Netflix on Saturday night and thinking you can't get up in the morning? Will you make it a priority, and let's see what our God will do. Listen, God will grow you over 12 weeks of consistency. God will honor a commitment like that. And if your heart is in it, you will find yourself closer to God and closer to the purpose He has for you. We will experience that together as a church family. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I'm telling you, your marriage could be impacted by this. Your kids can be impacted by 12 consistent weeks of discipleship in their lives. Come on, mom and dad. Right? Together as a whole. I'm telling you, if we put our hearts in this, we will not be the same after this. And so here's what we're going to do at the end of it. After Easter, I'm telling you now in advance so that you know, if you commit to this, if you take the challenge and you show up, okay, if you crush the national average in attendance over those 12 weeks, we're going to throw a party just for you. After Easter, I'm serious, for those that crush the national average in attendance, we're going to throw a giant party. It's going to be huge. It's going to be good. I'm serious. Like, I'll do a nasty dance. You don't want that. I'm just kidding. We're going to have fun, though. We're going to celebrate the growth that God has done in your lives and as our lives together, okay? In addition, if you say, man, I'm going to take this challenge, we're going to talk about this every Sunday between now and January 7th, leading up to the first Sunday in January. In addition, if you take the challenge, we're all going to get these bad boys. Little bracelets, only they're not going to say home church, they're going to say every Sunday. So we're going to get those leading up to it if you take the challenge. And they're going to be the little reminder, right? That I made a commitment to something. I made a commitment to do this. I can't binge watch Netflix all night on Saturday. I got to go to bed, right? Come on, does this sound good? Does this sound good? All right, listen to me. I've never heard of another church doing anything like this before. So let's not do church normal. Let's do real church and let's see what our God will do. Amen? Amen. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. God, thank you for this wonderful family. God, thank you for what you are doing in us. And I thank you that you have a purpose for each and every person here. I thank you, Lord, that you don't intend for that to be some big secret, some big mystery, God. I do praise you that it's found in relationship with you. But I praise you, Lord, that it's not impossible for us to know. In fact, you invite us to the best avenue in our lives to begin to get to know this unique calling that you have for us. You invite us into relationship with you. God, we need you to have your way in our lives. We need to be a committed people. We need to go back to number one, all of us, me included. We need to go back to number one and steward our relationship with you well. Come on, family, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Do you need to go back to number one? How's your relationship with God? Do you need to go back there? Maybe you're on fire with your relationship with God. Do you need to ask Him for responsibility? Do you need to step out into more and more responsibility that He wants to entrust into your care? But here's my encouragement in all of it. Come home. Let's be home together. Let's be family together. We are better together. God will use this family around you to help you, encourage you, and together we'll help each other, and we will continue to become the people that God has in mind for us to be. So, hey, we want to pray for you today. Before we leave, I'm going to pray for you in just one second, but we want to pray for you. We're going to have prayer leaders down front. If you need prayer for anything, the Holy Spirit's talking to you this morning. If you got a prayer need, if you need to pray about your relationship with God, we want to pray for you. Don't leave this room without getting prayed for. Jesus, thank you for this family. Thank you for what you are doing in us. Thank you for what you are doing through us. I pray we'd have a Christmas season like no other with your hand upon us, Lord. We say, have your way. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And all my friends said, amen. Come on.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.